Today is October 9th, 2009, and we're in Bogota, Colombia, with Diego Molano, the High Commissioner for Acción Social, the Presidential Agency for Social Action and International Cooperation. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problem. You're welcome.
Perhaps we could start. You've had a long history of involvement with CCAI, so perhaps we could start by talking about how CCAI has developed over time, because the way it works today and the way it's structured today is very different from 2004.
I had the fortune of being one of the creators of CCAI from the beginning, just from the scratch. And basically, in the year 2004, after President Uribe came to power, he started with the government with implementation of the democratic security policy. During the year 2002 and 2003, the military forces started the different operations, particularly in the most difficult areas, and they were recovering all the areas that were affected, particularly the previous detention zone in the south of Colombia. This detention zone was occupied by the FARC, more than 40,000 hectares in the previous peace process that was broken at the end of the Andrés Pastrana's administration. And in this area, the Democratic Security Policy decided to start, and they were recovering the territories. But then in the year 2003, they started to ask the president and that they need not only the military presence and the police presence, but definitely to need the institutional strengthening and the presence of the government as a whole. Mm-hmm. If you see the Colombian maps, and maybe Luis Alfonso will just explain you this, Colombia is more territory than a state. And basically, if you see the Colombian map, there is almost 50% of the territory covered by savannas, by jungle, where because the lack of a state presence and the presence of the narco traffic generated and a history of presence of illegal armed groups that initially were basically moved by ideological reasons affiliated to the communists and to the guerrillas during the 60s. But then they started to evolve during the 70s and during the 80s, not only in these areas, but I will say in areas with the same characteristics. You have the map of Colombia, 50% of the territory, savannas and jungles, but in the other 50%, there are spots where you have the same problem. Not a state presence, really difficult geographical situations, lack of no roads and easy access to those areas. And the presence of guerrillas there also generated a violence with the beginning of the narco traffic and the involvement of the guerrillas, first with the cartels and then with the guerrillas protecting the cultivated areas. These areas really created a very violent areas. Then with the eruption of the paramilitaries in Colombia, it was the worst case scenario for the Colombia at the beginning of the 2002. And then the whole campaign, military campaign, is, and particularly the military forces, started to claim to the presence of the government, but with a new strategy, with a new approach. Then that was the time that the government decided to create the center, the Integrated Center for Coordinated Actions. The principles that led the creation of the center were basically three. One, it should be an interagency coordination. We should must understand that the only way that we can add value if we can work together in those areas. It was not a matter of agriculture, a matter of infrastructure, or a matter of education. It has to be a comprehensive approach that requires interagency coordination. The second principle that was really difficult at the beginning, and I really suffered this a lot, was we didn't have trust between our, and among our institutions. all the, I would say, social institutions such as Acción Social or others, the education, the health, the minister, they thought the militaries were very close to the paramilitaries. They didn't have trust in the militaries. And all the militaries and the police forces at that time thought that all the social workers and all this, they were very close, like the left. And what really helped us a lot to create this trust was President Uribe. Basically, he took us to a meeting and told him, look, you have to stop this. We are here, only one state, and the state has to have the ability to have security with social development at the same time. We need security for development, we need development for security. It is not possible that we can continue working aside, like in different paths. And we started a process of really gaining confidence and trust among ourselves. And this was the second principle. And the third principle that we started the CCAI basically was that we need something that gotta be low profile. There is no one institution that has to be the prominent institution, the whole effort. It has to be an effort that has to be shown externally as an effort for the government of Colombia, the state of Colombia, under the presidency leadership, not even the military, not the civilians, not, it's more like the president, the government. And we have to use a low profile with very concrete actions in the short term, in the medium term, and the long term. And this way, that's where we started to work. And it was a very simple method. We target some areas defined in a common manner by the militaries and us, the civilians, areas characterized by military operations, illicit crops, the presence of armed groups, and internal displacement because they were expelling population from those areas. Then we target these areas and we started to develop very concrete plans in the short terms and the long terms. And we create like five tools. First was like humanitarian assistance, then some social programs for education and health. And then we started to work with infrastructure, social infrastructure, you know, rebuilding, reconstruction. And then we started with economic development programs. And finally, we discovered that sports, cultures, and leisure was really key aspect to regain confidence of the populations in the government and to gain trust again in the institutions. And we started the center, and we call upon for the institutions that they appoint full-time officials for the center. And then we started to work very practical way, very low profile, developing just concrete actions, working all the time with the militaries. And of course, now it's much, much sophisticated, and but this does what happened at the beginning.
So this question of trust, building trust between the different agencies, that's a problem that a lot of governments have in a lot of situations. So did you develop any ways, or looking back now, can you think of ways that really helped you build that trust, that culture?
One was the idea of showing that it was an effort, and that's why we created the name. It was very simple, but it's the Center for Coordinated Action of the President of the Republic. It was not an effort from Acción Social, it was not an effort from the Minister of Social Protection, it was not an effort from the militaries. The center was the most important thing, the presidency, there, like representing the government. The second was basically, I will say, the leadership of the President Uribe. President Uribe was all the time working in this and showing, basically leading by example in this approach. He always bring the militaries and the civilians to sit down together to work. It helped a lot. But the other thing is that we started to develop practical activities in the field. I don't know how to translate it, but the militaries in the state, they call it the med reps. It's like the medical fairs where you go there. They call it the militarizations and all this. We started to call interinstitutional activities. We started to change. We went together with the militaries, and in this process of working together, we were gaining trust. They learned that all we, the civilians, the militaries learned that we had a lot of information about the security in the areas, what was really happening to the people. And we started to trust each other because we have information on what was happening in the field.
And you said that you were maybe a little surprised that sports culture, that was a key effort that you had to push. Do you remember an example of this, where
yeah,
this has worked well?
Yeah, plenty of them. Like just four examples that is interesting. In the previous detention zone, they were like a kind of a, the capital city of the detention zone. It was called San Vicente del Caguana and Cartagena del Chaira. They used to be completely managed by the FARC. When the army came back and they recovered the territory, still there were like a kind of a sensation of insecurity. And people used to go home at 6 p.m. Nobody went out after 6 p.m. It was kind of, even though the militaries were there, but it was not a completed presence. Then people, but the best way to show that is security and confidence and the perception is that you occupy public spaces, like the sports centers, like the fields and all this. And then what happened is we started to organize like football matches and parties. On the, this was one issue, very simple, very cheap, but brings in order to show them that they can go out after at night and do different activities. Mm-hmm. And basically that they can own or, appropriate these public spaces mm-hmm. for them. This is one example. The other example is something that is called La Balsa Dorada. It was the Faro La Balsa Dorada, this kind of the gold boat, something the fair for gold. It was in Cartagena del Chaira, just in the south. For more than 5 years after the guerrilla, it was a very traditional fair that they organized in this town. And they really appreciated it, but after the guerrilla was had a presence there, they didn't organize it anymore. But it was very symbolic, like emblematic for them. Mm-hmm. And we organized it for the first time after the militaries came back, and they became a very popular event again, showing them that they can really get part of the whole community, and that they really, can really enjoy this fair, this fair that they organized. The other is like, for example, in San Jose de Apartado, they used to have a massacre there. We have an internal displacement of more than 1,500 families there. They started to get back after the military presence of the police, but they were, the state was there, they weren't sure about it, but they have this fair of avocado fair. There is this very like popular fair for avocado. And basically we facilitated the restart the whole avocado fair. And around this fair, we promote economic activity because avocado was replanted again, the cultural activities, and we really was part of the whole process. This is kind of an example. That,
So in the early stages of CCAI, the most of the work was done in that southern zone where the army had
No, from the beginning we started to work in, at the beginning were, I think, seven regions. One in the north, or Sierra Nevada. For me, Sierra Nevada, Santa Marta, you are going to visit it, yeah. Is the most successful one. It's an example to show a very interesting approach. Because in this sense, it was like you have two examples. The south, Caquetá, and Sierra Nevada. What happened in Caquetá was the military, just they got there. We have the massive military campaign. They reach out the population. They militarized, they took over, and then we went after them. What happened in the Sierra Nevada was the opposite. The militaries couldn't go there. We entered first, even though it was very, like, we had kind of a humanitarian crisis there with the indigenous, a lot of malnutrition, a lot of displacement. But the militaries they didn't have the campaign, a massive campaign. Basically, we entered there first. We built roads, we built activities, we gained trust, and then the militaries could enter there. It was two different approaches, and this is one of the examples.
This was Acción Social or CCAI?
The CCAI. Okay.
So you went in before the security was
yeah.
there?
We facilitate the entrance of the security. For example, we build the roads, We build the schools first. We provide humanitarian assistance. Mm-hmm. And with the roads, they could build the Montan Battalion, for example, only they had the roads. We facilitate, we told them, look, you have now in this area, you have to build a training center, military training center. Mm-hmm. It was just because we got there, we gained confidence from the indigenous and from the population.
So right from the start, you had the seven zones all at once?
Yes, it was in 2 months. We defined like three major areas.
And how did you choose those zones? How did you evaluate that?
Basically, with a criteria of military presence, high levels of violence, illicit crops activities. I would say these are the
most... So they were the zones with the most security problems?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And then once these zones were set up, there was, as we understand it, there was this padrino model. There was a person who would link the central unit to the zones. Can you talk about why that model was chosen and what were the good things about it? Maybe what were some of the things that needed improving?
I think it was excellent at the beginning because we have 14 institutions mm-hmm. as part of the center. The key aspect for the workings of the center where we have the 14 institutions, but from the beginning we told them, we asked the ministries and the institutions that they have to appoint somebody full time. But we told them we don't want high profile. We want efficient guys. Mm-hmm. We want somebody who can really mobilize resources within the institutions. This is a key aspect. Because if you have a minister or a deputy minister, they are so busy that they can't really allocate resources and time to work full time here. That is one issue. But we already had identified before who was like the champion, the key guy there, and we invited them to be appointed here. And also the other key aspect in that sense is that the center, we have this executive board meeting every week, 2 hours, very organized, 2 hours, with the presence of the Deputy Minister of Defense and at that time the previous High Commissioner Luis Alfonso. And I was doing kind of the technical secretariat for that. And they worked together like all the time, the military, the civilians. And then when we have the 14 institutions, this Godfather approach was good because we were like traveling to the areas, but then we have this guy that was part of an institution like Minister of Education or Minister of Interior that he started to care about the whole region. Mm-hmm. He started to be accountable for the results of these regions. Then he knew about his sectorial matter for all the areas, but he was really caring about and this area. Then he became kind of a perfect link between the community, the local authorities, and the other sectors. It worked very well.
So it's often a problem finding the right people, and you just mentioned that you were very specific about the people you wanted, but how did you find them? How did you find these lower level people, but very, you say, proactive people? How did you know?
It was basically because observing, and as we already at that time, we have like 2 years of the government, mm-hmm. one year from the beginning of the government, mm-hmm. and we already knew people in the other sectors that you knew they were very clever. Mm-hmm. It was basically because this observation and more experience.
Now, it seems, from the outside, it seems like the experience in La Macarena with the plan for consolidation there really was a pivotal moment. The model of CCAI seemed to change a little with that.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that process?
It's, I will say that like Macarena became part of the adaptation. CCAI was really flexible and adapting to the model. And I will say at that time, the military started to put pressure that they need more strong presence in the region and they needed a different approach. And then we decided to accept the challenge of getting there and create this future center or now regional coordination center in the area. Mm-hmm. In that sense, the Minister of Defense started to promote this activity. We agreed upon this requirement and we did it. And we organized it and it started to provide results. And that's why we decided to adopt it and it worked well. We decided to adopt it for the other regions.
What was the debate there? Because as I understand, the Ministry of Defense liked this, they liked the Macarena model, but there must have been you must have seen some negative sides to it. Were there some things you were
not basically sure about? The debate for me, that because I was at that time, you know, and it's kind of a tension between the La Macarena and the regionals and CCAI, like the tension between this model and what was CCAI was accustomed to do, like the normal business. But also because La Macarena, and in that sense I still believe that is the danger and the threat, is that that the CCAI model was really working with institutions and creating institutional and building at the local level. In the La Macarena, what really is kind of the approach is you are, ¿cómo se dice? Suplantar, supplanting?
Supplanting, exactly. Yeah.
Supplanting institutions. You can do it fast. You can put, you have all the money, you put institutions, you raise, you hire guys there that they can do, but you are not creating institutions. This is the problem of development. You need to create institutions. And then if you need to do something in land, you build, and then part of the process, you definitely need that institution get there, and then you create capacity at the local level. And La Macarena was very fast, like hiring people, putting people there, putting pressure. But of course, we were more slow in that sense, but looking at the capacity building at the local level. And basically, we were dealing with not only the problems of the moment in the area, but like a long tradition of some very weak institution at national level. Of course, at the local level, it's really worst. And then you could be supplanting and doing fast, but not really creating capacity. I think it was the tension, and it's still, I think, it's a tension that we have.
And could you talk a little bit about how that debate tied into the production of the National Consolidation Plan, how the National Consolidation Plan influenced CCAI towards a new direction?
No, basically it was like kind of this window of opportunity that you have in the development of public policy, that we were evaluating, okay, how the military campaign was doing. We were evaluating in the CCI, we call it that, we used a concept that we call the social recovery of the territory. For CCAI, what we do is social recovery of the territory. We were evaluating how was our impact. And also the militaries were thinking, okay, are we going in the right direction? And under the leadership of the Minister of Defense and the President told us, no, you have to really rethink what do we more, and in a different way that we can really get results and can kind of have a pivotal change in the whole approach that we did, and that's why the consolidation applies. But we had the experience, and the experience of CCAI provide a lot of insights on how to develop and to be the approach of the minister of the plan de consolidación should be.
And one example of maybe the Macarena model moving elsewhere is Montes de Maria. They have a much heavier presence there. But that's not the case everywhere now. There's still some areas working with the Padrino model. Not anymore. So the CCI has really adopted the Macarena model is really...
I would say yes.
Okay, that is, in your view...
No, now we have 11 areas, and with these 11 areas we decided to have Fusion Center, Regional Center in 7 or 8 of them. Yeah. The others we feel that we can manage it from Bogota.
And in terms of the international partners, Colombia's international partners and their involvement in CCAI, how would you describe that? How important was that? And how important will it be, do you think?
I will say that it has been also evolving the process in two ways. Like at the beginning, for the creation of the center, we have a lot of support from the Southern Command of the United States, like the creation, the concept of interagency coordination. And nobody else know that we call the official aid, it means USAID, for example. They didn't believe in the model. We started basically with national resources. We developed the whole center with national resources, started to work in that sense. After 2 years of operations, and when we saw the results, we called them again, look we're achieving, and they decided to start to support. Basically, but as a complement, not the main effort. This effort has been mainly by national resources. USAID started to develop some projects around these areas, one in institutional and education and health in 2006, but at that time we had already 5 years of operations. And then at that time, when we decided, USAID got very interested in La Macarena,
yeah.
And we were doing it in La Macarena, and then the model for the future to create there. The result for La Macarena, plus we were doing in the other areas, also raised the interest and the motivation for supporting the consolidation plan. And now there is very strong support and commitment from international cooperation to the consolidation plan. But the consolidation plan is a national consolidation plan where we are allocating resources and we are expecting complementary resources from international cooperation.
Now, you said that in the beginning, at least, USAID didn't believe in what CCAI was doing. What do you think were their misgivings? What do you think they were hesitant about?
I think the still in the international community is kind of again this mistrust with the military forces and working together the military and the social and the infrastructure programs, and I think this was like this approach from the beginning.
Okay. And one last question, if I may. As you've described it, the challenge was changing every day. There were a lot of immediate needs, and it's still changing. CCAI is still changing. But when you look back now, are there lessons learned from those years that you take, the things that stand out? Or maybe things that you would have liked to know when you first started?
No, there is one lesson learned that for me is in terms of that I learned at that time, and now I think we have to retake and use it again, is interagency coordination is a phrase that is an ego management. Mm-hmm. Is you have to manage egos, is basically. And then you have to really understand that you have to create a way that to have a high and supreme objective that people really committed and not try to show personalities or institutions. It's more like to really create commitment for the objective and for the goals. And in that sense, if you work with low profile, if you give recognitions to everybody at the same time and at the same level, this is really helps. But this requires certain competences within the different officials. It's not the same when you don't have this kind of commitment. And it really was kind of a successful, a lesson learned for all the interagency. And the other lesson learned in the whole process is about that CCAI work, when you have kind of work in the, I will say, meso level, meso, you have macro, meso, and micro. Mm-hmm. And then when you work in the macro, the discussions about the policy discussion, very high low profile, and you have micro is just project. What CCAI really helped was to work in the meso level. It's like regional programs, very concrete, and basically working in like parallel planning, parallel execution, and parallel evaluation within all agencies at this meso level. Because if you work in the micro, you lose perspective. If you work in the macro, it's too high and you cannot really create an impact. This effort that was very concrete, like a matrix of things to do, we have a very concrete tool at that time. It's a matrix for every region. We went there, we consult, we provide participations, we get feedback from the community, and we have a matrix, things to do at the meso. And then we have a kind of a red traffic light system. This red, yellow, or green, and we started to do very practical. And this really helped a lot and can be useful now.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
No, if you have any more questions, I have a couple of minutes more.
You have a couple of minutes more?
Yeah.
Just one. Then one last question in that case. A lot of this was new to the Colombian government. This is a new model of governance in a way. And even when you talk about working in a decentralized country, you have to interact with the departmental, the municipality. So could you talk about how, if you developed any strategies to manage opposition or pushback to what you wanted to do? Because even from the ministries, from the departments, from the municipalities, this could not have always been popular, I imagine.
But I would say this approach has never been like criticized. Oh. Mainly recently, the international community, this involvement of the militaries, they're really like reactive to this involvement. But generally, people like it because you were bringing identification, health, education. We also provide a lot of integration and involvement of the local authorities. And in the government, basically, they were really highly motivated because they were seeing results. And mainly because we knew that we were making history, changing those areas that were basically really left a part of Colombia, and we understood, and we understand now still, that if we recover these territories, we can really change the balance of violence in Colombia. Then for us, it's really a quite high relevant objective, and that's why it was not really criticized.
Thank you so much.
No problem.